Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name's Michelle Cashatt. I'm your co-host, and joining me in today's conversation is Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
Well, today we're talking about email. One of our least favorite subjects. You know, do you remember that movie that came out? I think it was like 1998, starring Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, called You've Got Mail.
I remember that. That was one of my favorite. I love romantic comedies to begin with, but I love that movie.
Well, I was thinking about it the other day, and remember, I mean, it was 18 years ago, but this whole concept of email was such a novel idea. I mean, everybody went crazy over email, and it's, you know, in some ways I think, oh, it's been 18 years, that's such a long time, but really, when you consider how much email has transformed our culture and our lives, 18 years isn't that much time.
No. And do you remember back in those days when you used to really look forward to getting email? I mean, like you'd like be watching your inbox and you get an email and it was like cause for celebration.
Yeah,
today,
you hear
most
the
people
ding.
I know.
You hear that you've got mail.
You've got mail. But today most people, you know, resent it or at least see it as kind of a necessary evil. It's very different from where it was 18 years ago.
Well, I don't think we knew in 1998 that it would grow to become quite the beast that it is now. Email is indispensable in many ways, and yet it's like the bane of our existence. Every day we're bombarded with emails from friends, family, coworkers, spam, customers, companies, schools, you name it. We get emails all the time. And to be honest, you know this, it's quite overwhelming. And at times it seems impossible to stay on top of. So Michael, give us an idea of, I hope you don't mind me asking, I'm going to ask anyway, give us an idea of the volume of emails you or your team process in your name every single day.
Probably 400 to 500, maybe more. I mean, that was several months ago when I checked, but because we have so many online properties now between Platform University and 5 Days Your Best Year Ever and the Get Noticed theme and MichaelHyatt.com and all that, I'd say probably 400 to 500, maybe more.
And I want to point out too, those don't count the emails between your team because you guys use Slack and other mediums to communicate back and forth. So really, most of those 400 to 500 are purely outside emails.
Well, and I can tell you this, we have 2 full-time people in our customer experience department. That's their full-time job. I mean, they just manage that email. They're getting back to people. They're asking us questions that are coming in from that email. They're forwarding to me stuff that needs my attention. But yeah, it's a lot.
Well, I don't get nearly that much, but you know, I could get maybe, I don't know, 50 to 100 real emails a day. And that is more than enough for me. And I'm sure many of those who are listening right now know what it's like to have an email inbox that just feels like a black hole. So usually I find people do one of 2 things. They either are completely married to their inbox where they can't pull themselves away, or they ignore it and pretend like it's not there. And they have an email inbox that's like thousands and thousands of emails that pile up over time.
Well, I know. And I've seen tens of thousands of emails in people's inbox and they can't find anything. And worse, they just feel like they're behind, chronically behind, not caught up. So that's part of what we want to address in this episode.
Absolutely. We don't want you to feel that way. And if you're the person that feels like you are glued to your inbox because you have to stay on top of it, or the person who, you know, tries to put the blinders on and ignore it, but it's still there, we want to give you 4 different steps today to take control of your email inbox. So it becomes something that's a real tool for you and not a distraction or the bane of your existence, the means to your daily death. So exactly. Michael, give us a very first step to taking control of your email inbox.
Yeah, I would say this, make it a goal to empty your inbox every single day. Okay, again, it's your goal. You want to be able to go to sleep with every message processed. Now, this doesn't mean you answer every message, but it does mean that you've processed every message. And there's a big difference. And I'll explain that in a minute. But again, empty your inbox every day. It's what some people call inbox zero, because you know that it's been attended to. You know that you've dispatched that email. You've dealt with it in an appropriate way. And, you know, you can go to bed at the end of the night knowing that it's all been taken care of. So that's where I would start, is again, start with the end and work backwards. What would it take? What would it make possible if you were to get to inbox zero every day?
Okay, so I rarely do inbox zero. That's my confession for today. However, I do. I have a goal of having under 15. That's okay,
well, that's not
right?
bad. Yeah, that's okay. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you have 15 or 20 unprocessed email at the end of the day, and by the way, this is a moving target, right? Because as soon as you get inbox zero, some knucklehead sends you an email. And you're, you know, back to having to start over again.
There's always one in every crowd. Somebody who's waiting for 5 p.m. and they send you like 8 emails.
But if you have 15 to 20 at the end of the day, and that's all you have, that puts you ahead of 99.9% of the population, because that's not how most people manage their inbox.
Well, and I kind of use it as a to-do list at times. So I'll leave them in there and those become my to-dos for the next morning.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
I still can qualify.
I'm going to give you a pass.
Thanks for the pass.
Until you can grow in this area.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so the first step to conquering your email inbox is to make it a goal to empty it every single day. Or like if you're like me, 15, 20 or under. All right, what is step number two?
Step number two is don't get bogged down. Keep moving. In other words, you have to have a workflow process that becomes for you automatic and second nature. And you will get better at this over time, but this is key. People often get bogged down because they keep processing the same email message over and over again. They read it. They don't take action. They let it sit in their inbox. And a few days later, they reprocess it. So nothing really ever progresses. Their emails just build up in their inbox. And it becomes very disheartening very quickly because they don't feel like they can get any traction. The key is that once you start processing your inbox, you have to move quickly. Read each message once and answer this question. Okay, and I got this from David Allen from Getting Things Done. Is this message actionable? Is this message, the one I'm looking at right now, actionable? In other words, am I being asked to do something? Now, if the answer, and if you're listening to this, you might want to take notes because you're going to want to come back to this. If the answer to that question is yes, there are only three possible actions. Number one, do. That's right. Take action on the task now.
And again, you're saying doing it right away. Don't put it off. Get it done.
Somebody asks you for a document. Somebody asks if they can have a meeting, whatever it is. And I follow David Allen's 2-minute rule. If I can do what is being requested of me in less than 2 minutes, I do it immediately. Now, this gets stuff off your to-do list before it ever gets on your to-do list. So I don't just want to keep adding to my to-do list. And sometimes adding it to your to-do list can take longer than actually doing the thing.
Okay, so, now you're stepping on my toes. Just back off, buddy.
You know, and the other thing, Michelle, too, is it has the added advantage of making you look very responsive. Okay.
It's true. So very true.
If you could do it in 2 minutes or less, just do it and do it now. It's like my friend Robert Smith says, when would now be a good time to do it? You know, so do it. Okay. The second possible action is to delegate it, pass the task along to someone else. Now, I'm not talking about passing the buck, but often someone else is better equipped to fulfill the sender's request. I've used this quote many times, but Dawson Trotman, who was the founder of the Navigators, once said, I purposed never to do anything that others could or would do when there was so much of importance to be done that others could or would not do. And I tell you, I've made that a motto for my life. In other words, you've got to try to focus on where you add value and offload everything else you possibly can. So if that message can be handled by somebody else, like in my case, I don't manage my own calendar. So if it's a calendar request, I'm going to forward that to Susie and she's going to respond to it. If it's something else that somebody on my team is better equipped to answer, I just forward it to them. I delegate it, I get it out of my inbox, and then I archive it. Number three, third action you can take, is if this is going to require action, is to defer it. In other words, just consciously decide you're going to do the task later. You know, maybe it's going to take longer than 2 minutes, or you can't delegate it to somebody else, but you can add this task to your to-do list or schedule an appointment with yourself to complete it. But either way, you're going to defer it. So those are the three actions when the answer to the question, is this email asking me to do something? If the answer is yes, there are those three actions that you need can take. Do, delegate, or defer. And notice they're all alliterative.
They're all very easy to remember. There you go.
Yeah. I didn't think you'd miss that since you're, you know, a speech coach. And I want to get extra credit. Okay. So if the answer is no, in other words, someone is not asking you to do something, then you've got two options. Number one, now write this down because it's going to be shocking to some of you. Delete. Yes, you can use the delete key with your email. I know it's shocking, but determine if you're going to need the information later. If not, delete it. My own assumption, you're going to love this, is that if it's really important, someone somewhere else in the world has a copy of it.
Hey, that is
right.
I actually like your logic, but that's still terrifying for me.
I know. Much to the chagrin of many politicians who, when they thought they deleted an email, showed up later because somebody else somewhere in the world had a copy of it. Okay, so number two, and man, I really tried to think of a D word for this, but I couldn't. You can file it, okay?
Okay.
So if it doesn't require action, you can file it. If you think you might need the information, file it. But I want to give you a really important tip here. Don't use an elaborate set of file folders. Now, you could disagree with me on this, but I think this is the single most important piece of advice I can give you. Just file everything in the archive. Why? Because if it gets more complicated than that, it leads to procrastination. Trust me on this. You're going to have to decide, well, should I file this under Brian because it was from him, or under Kevin because it's about him? Or what happens if the email covers more than one subject? Do you make copies of the email and then put one copy in each folder? Things can get really complicated fast. Forget all that. Just file it in your archive and then let the computer do the heavy lifting of finding that email when you need it. Computers are really good at that.
Yes, and that's exactly what I do. I've done that for the last couple of years. I used to have folders and all of that kind of stuff, and I finally got rid of that a couple of years ago, and it's been the best thing I've done. So easy.
So let's just review that real quick. So if the person is requesting something of you, you've got to answer the question, am I being asked to do something? If the answer is yes, do, delegate, or defer. If the action is no, they're not asking you to do something, it's just information, then you can either delete it if you don't think you're going to need it again, or you can file it if you think you might need it again. And by the way, if in doubt, I file it.
You just do that just in case. You can always delete it later.
Well, and I mean, even with a Gmail account, I mean, they give you so much stinking hard drive space for free. I've never even gotten close.
I haven't either after a couple of years, and I seem to have a lot of junk in there, but such great advice. So the point of this whole second step is not to get bogged down, to keep moving. And so Michael has provided you with your responses, depending on whether or not that email is actionable or not. If it is, do delegate or defer. If it's not, delete or file. It's that simple. So hopefully we've repeated that enough. We may make sure that's in the show notes as well, so that way you have it. But that
absolutely.
That tool is so easy for you to just move right through your email and keep you from that email processing and paralysis.
I want to say that initially, when you start doing this, it's going to feel cumbersome because you're going to have to kind of go through by rote and say, okay, is it actionable? Yes or no? What are my options here? But after a while, it becomes second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like practicing tennis or, you know, doing any sport where the repetitive motion builds it into your muscle memory.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you want to do here so that you can move through your inbox and do it quickly and not spend all day in your inbox.
Yeah, who wants to do that?
That's who wants no to do fun. That?
All right, we have two more steps for you, easy steps to conquer your email inbox. We will get those to you in just a moment. However, before we continue this discussion, Michael, you have a free resource that you wanted to offer to your listeners, correct?
I do. I hear from people all the time. I get emails, messages on social media who regularly feel like they're overworked, they're overwhelmed, and they're nearly burnt out. And I know it's because they're working too much. So I put together a free ebook called Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week. Now, if you feel like you're not getting the most important things done in your life, I've outlined some effective strategies, and this ebook is going to help you be more productive, find more free time, and feel better about your work and feel better about your week. So all you got to do to get it is just go to michaelhyatt.com/10hours, 10 hours, totally free. And you'll get this resource as a complimentary bonus for signing up for my newsletter.
10 hours. That's That's like a more than a work day, like a half of a full day. That's amazing. I could do so much more with that extra time in my week. All of you have to sign up for this today. You simply need to go to michaelhyatt.com/10hours, and they'll just put in their email, correct?
Yeah, just put in their first name and then their email address, click submit, and then you'll be able to download it. Again, it's free and it's as easy as that.
Great. Thank you, Michael. I hope everybody takes advantage of that. Now let's go back to our conversation about how to conquer your email inbox. So if you are drowning in email, maybe you're scared to death to look at your inbox because it's just too much for you. We have four easy steps for you today to be able to get a handle on it and to get to that place where you can have inbox zero every single day. So far, we've talked about the first two steps that Michael had for you. The first is to make it a goal to empty your inbox every single day. He talked through how you can make that happen. In addition, the second step is to not get bogged down. Don't get bogged down. Keep moving. So when you see an email, rather than processing it day after day after day, do something about it. If it's actionable, do delegate or defer. If it's not actionable, then delete or file. What is step number three?
Step number three is to use keyboard shortcuts and avoid the mouse. Now, this is just one of my personal pet peeves, but I think it's a productivity step that's really important. The mouse is horribly inefficient as an input device. The good news is that nearly every mouse action has a keyboard equivalent, so you don't have to take your hands off the keyboard. So in Mac OS X, for example, you could even create keyboard shortcuts for any menu item in any software package. Do you know how to do that? Have you ever done that before?
No, I haven't. I'm a mouse user, so I know. I'm so ashamed right now. I just want
No, don't be ashamed. But it could be faster. So you go in under your settings, you know, go up to the, for your PC users, just be patient with us here for a second. Go click on the Apple in the upper left-hand corner, go to System Preferences, and then what you're going to find is an option called Keyboard. You click on that, and you go to Shortcuts. And what you can do there is click the plus button. And then you can add a keyboard shortcut. And this will work for just about any menu shortcut that you want to implement as a keyboard shortcut. So it's again, very easy to do. You just got to try it on your own. But my personal goal is to never use the mouse. Every time I do, I have to take my hands off the keyboard, and it doesn't sound like it would cost you much time, but it does add up. The other thing that you can do with regard to this is you can use a simple keyboard macro program. Like the one I use is called Keyboard Maestro. And so what I can't do on the Mac through the keyboard shortcuts is like launch a program with a keyboard shortcut. But I know I'm getting a little geeky, but Keyboard Maestro, like every program that I use on a regular basis, I have a keyboard shortcut for it. So I don't have to futz around with going down to the dock and pulling that up and clicking on it. I just hit a keyboard combination and boom, I'm right there. And even if it's not loaded, or if it is loaded, then it'll flip to that program.
Now, so, is Keyboard Maestro simply a Mac program, or is there a Windows?
Yeah, it's definitely a Mac program. There are for sure PC programs available like that. What you're looking for, and I can't recommend any because I'm not a PC user, but I know they're available. All you got to do is look for a macro processor or a keyboard macro processor.
All right, there we go. So the third step here is to use keyboard shortcuts and avoid the mouse. And as Michael said, it can actually save you time that you don't realize that you have. All right, so let's move on to step number four. What is that?
Step number four is to let email rules filter the low priority stuff. So if you haven't discovered email rules, you're really missing a great time saver. And almost every email program out there allows you to create email rules, including Outlook, Apple Mail, or Gmail, which are really terrific because they do those right on the server. But it sounds a little geeky, but they're not that difficult to use. But what they basically work on is a trigger. So they say, for example, if I get an email, I'm on the board of a seminary, and whenever I get an email from the seminary, I automatically route that to a folder because I'm not going to look at those every day because it's not my vocation, it's my avocation. But I'll put those in a folder so that they're queued up for me, still unread, so that I see that there's, you know, messages in that folder that need to be read. But I let the email rule do that. Or if I get a receipt, I let the email rule filter that out to a receipts folder. So I said before that I don't use a lot of folders, but I do use a few folders for things like that so that I can get to them really quickly. There's another application out there that is really terrific, and it's called SaneBox. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. SaneBox is amazing. Michelle, you must sign up for this.
Okay, I'm writing it down right now. SaneBox. Okay,
so what it does is it sorts your inbox before you ever get to it. So, for example, in my inbox, I'll have a SaneBox folder that's called Sane Later. So it takes, for example, all the newsletters that I get, all the things that I subscribe to, promotions, all that stuff. It keeps it out of my inbox. It puts those in a special folder called Sane Later. And you can create your own own folders and train it to send messages to that automatically. So for example, if I get a message from or a receipt from the Apple store, if I drag that into the receipts folder that's part of the SaneBox thing, that it knows thereafter that every Apple receipt that it ever gets goes into that folder.
Wow, so that's amazing. It is amazing.
It's a lot easier to use, frankly, than email filters because a lot of people get hung up on those. It's a little bit geeky and it kind of scares them. But SaneBox is super easy. It comes configured right out of the box to take the most common kinds of emails that you receive and puts them in folders so that you don't have to give the same priority to every single message. Now,
I had a question. Does it sync with your Gmail, like your Google Box or Mac Mail, or it works with all of those different mail applications?
Yep, it works with all of those. And you're going to give it access. And it's a little scary the first time you do it, but you're going to give it access to your inbox. Okay. And then it's going to go in there at the server level. So before it ever hits your email client, like if you use Apple Mail, do you use Apple Mail?
I do.
Okay. So maybe you have a Gmail account, but it's going to sort it before it ever gets to your email client. So the only thing that's going to be in your inbox is the stuff you really want there, which is probably professional and personal messages from real people, not newsletters, subscriptions, promotions, receipts, all that kind of stuff. It'll sort that out. Now, here's another one. This is another software
tool. Is this another one I'm going to have to download? Do I need to get my
totally
pen out
get
again?
This one.
I'm really excited. I believe it or not, I'm excited about SaneBox. So go ahead. I'll trust you.
Okay, good. So this one is called Unroll.me.
Oh, yes. Everybody needs to have this.
Have you used this?
I actually was just talking to my assistant about it about 2 days ago.
Okay, so what Unroll.me does is you give it access to your inbox. And now and it kind of goes a step beyond SaneBox, but it takes every email that's a subscription where it has an unsubscribe link and it segregates them out and it gives you a list of all those where you could either decide to consolidate it in a once a day or once a week email. So you're not seeing all these individual things hit your inbox. So you put it in the Unroll Me, one email so that you don't have to mess with each one individually. Or you can say, no, just unscribe me. I went through the other day. I couldn't believe this. I hadn't done it for a while. I had like over 300 email subscriptions that I unsubscribed. I didn't have to go into each email and try to find the unsubscribe button and wonder if it's going to work. I just told unroll.me to unsubscribe me. And I did it really with one click because I said, all these right here, I want to be unsubscribed from. And it handled all the details.
You know, first of all, it baffles me that we can end up subscribed to 300 different things.
I know.
It happens all the time.
And it happens incrementally. So like, you know, the frog in the kettle, you get boiled 1 degree at a time. I mean, you think, oh, that sounds cool. I'd like to hear from that person or that company. And then this sounds cool. And sometimes you just buy stuff and you don't realize that you're also subscribing to their, hourly newsletter. And so Unroll Me really solves that. I got Gail hooked up this weekend and she was ecstatic.
Well, now you've given me two fabulous to-dos that I need to do sometime in the next day or two. So SaneBox and Unroll Me are on my list. I can't wait. All right. So as we wrap up today's episode, I have one final question for you. Do you have any advice for the person who is so far behind on email, they'll never catch up? You know, that person that has 10,000 emails. What are they supposed to do? Just block off a week to take care of it?
No. What you need to do, and I've got a blog post that we'll link to in the show notes, you need to declare email bankruptcy.
Oh.
So you just have to realize that you have more debt than you can pay back, and you don't get to do this very often. but you can do this. I'm giving you permission. If you're listening to this, I'm giving you permission to do this. And here's what it means. You're going to take every message in your inbox, except maybe the last 20.
Okay.
And you're going to drag, you're going to archive them. You know, they've essentially been archived already, but you've not called it an archive. And now you're going to put into practice some of these positive email disciplines and practices that we've been talking about. So you're going to get them out of sight. So they're not draining your psychic energy and you're not feeling guilty and ashamed. You know, those are completely archived away. And you know what? If somebody says to you, they said, "Hey, I sent you an email 2 weeks ago and you still haven't responded." What you're going to say is, "I am so sorry. Somehow, you know, I missed that," or whatever.
"Somehow it got deleted."
but people are going to come back to you. If it's really urgent or really important, they'll come back to you. But you're not getting to them now anyway. So just, you know, do yourself a favor and get them out of your field of vision and put them in your archive where they're out of the way.
And then after you've done that, after you've declared email bankruptcy, make sure you go back and use these four steps that Michael has given you today to conquer your email inbox. It makes no sense to purge your account and then to not put in good practices into place.
Well, that's right. I mean, it would be kind of tantamount to declaring bankruptcy and then going out and applying for more credit cards and getting yourself right back in the same position you were. You don't want to do that.
So true. So these are the four easy steps that Michael's delivered today. One, make it a goal to empty your inbox every day. Two, don't get bogged down. Keep moving. Three, use keyboard shortcuts and avoid the mouse. And four, let email rules filter the low priority stuff. And if you're not familiar with those email rules, it's not hard to figure out. Just take a little bit of time to get those set up and it will help you immensely. Well, if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. But do us a favor before you go. I promise it will only take you a very short amount of time, less than a minute. Head over to iTunes and take a moment to rate this podcast. You could even leave us some comments. We would love to hear from you. But this is huge in terms of improving our ranking in iTunes and keeping this show and its content visible to those who really need it. So thank you ahead of time for helping us out. Any final thoughts today, Michael?
Yeah, I would say one big tool that could replace email for a lot of your correspondence, particularly internal correspondence, is Slack. It's an alternative to email. It's something I use with my team. Michelle, you're familiar with it. But I cut my email by 83%. I've blogged about this. 83% in 1 week just because we started using Slack. And so for all internal communication and a few external contractors, we use Slack. So I never have to even do email. And it's a delight to use. It's something I actually look forward to.
It's very user-friendly, very easy to use. Well, thank you for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.